waver in his faith, lose hope, and eventually succumb to the ways of the world. The cliche is that your environment can shape your behavior. During the Exodus, the Israelites' departure from their 400 years of oppression, the principles, ideologies, and idolatry of the Tagalongs, known as the Egyptians, began to influence the Israelites' behavior. During the Exodus experience, this mixing of cultures created vulnerability and confusion for the Israelites, causing them to straddle the line between living in the world. Believers can live in the world and not conform to the ways of the world, or living of the world, adopting the principle or ways of the world, such as lust of the eyes and flesh and pride of life. It was one thing to have the Egyptian culture create division and confusion within the Israelites' culture. Still, it was another to see how God's chosen people decided to adopt Egyptian behavior and choose to worship an idol instead of worshiping God. Regardless of the daily distractions during the Exodus, Moses had to remain focused and deliver the Israelites to the Promised Land. I often ask myself, how did Moses remain focused on dealing with both the Israelites and the Egyptians? This man was under a tremendous amount of pressure. Moses' experience from the burning bush to lead the Israelites to the Promised Land could contribute to a nervous breakdown, heart attack, or insanity. Do you think Moses' anxieties, concerns, and worries leveled up, especially when the Israelites were complaining about being led into the wilderness to die? Who knows what the Egyptians were saying to undermine Moses' leadership that contribute to complaining and idol worshiping? Imagine being in Moses' shoes in those moments when he traveled up and down Mount Sinai. Can you imagine having executive meetings with God and pleading that he does not destroy his chosen race? All of it could have made Moses want to throw in the towel. Moses was indeed in a pressure cooker. We struggle to get the basics. God has kept some secrets from us because he knows we cannot get the basics right, and we are lacking in maturity. Our finite minds cannot comprehend the infinite aspects of God's nature and the universe. It's like a parent introducing doses of knowledge according to the child's maturity level. More information and explanations will be revealed in due time. The Bible has been described as a history book. Indeed, this is true from Genesis to Revelation. It teaches us how to live in God's will, not man's will. More importantly, the Bible is a book providing basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. For example, see the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to our children forever, and us, that we may follow all the words of this law. The Bible contains a vast amount of rich history, stories, and knowledge. But when we get right down to it, this book is about who God is and about love and relationships. The 66 books in the Bible reveal how our sovereign God interacts with the heavens, earth, and all therein. God's love is unconditional. He loves all, even when they have been willing to live outside of God's will. God continues to give us retakes after failing the tests. When we miss the mark, God displays his relationship with us by providing us with the opportunity to repent, ask for forgiveness, or to forgive others. The Bible speaks about God not wanting anyone to perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is being patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The Lord's timetable and ours are different, and because of this, he has provided every one of us opportunities to clean our house from the time we are born to the day we die. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord gave commands and decrees for Israel to teach their children, and they in return teach their children about divine truth. These daily practices should have been a priority within the families. Instead, from generation to generation, traditions, beliefs, morals, and values have been compromised. The baton hasn't been safely passed on. Parents are constantly teaching their children behaviors regardless of if it is face-to-face, nonverbal, or a combination of both. Some families have handed off the baton to continue practicing living in God's will, cultural traditions and customs, and keeping their ancestors' history alive. In contrast, others see all this as outdated. The question I ask myself is, why has the baton been dropped from one generation to the next? Is there too much effort to pick it up in the exchange zone and proceed just to win the race? I understand that traditions, customs, values, and norms are forever changing in today's culture, society,